My confidence is a little bit irrational sometimes.
Wait.
That's a classic, Joe. That's a classic. Irrational confidence. That's classic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. This is absolutely amazing. The longest standing and award-winning podcast, my podcast, The Crossover. And we are here to celebrate the 25th anniversary. Something new this year, a new twist to this crossover. We are taking the best coaches, the best players, the people that were most instrumental in the last 25 years of the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague and made it what it is today. The most ironic thing is my first podcast at the crossover was with one of my guests that's going to be here today. And the other one is the guy that led him to the 2014 EuroLeague Championship. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just such an honor to have number one, one of my favorite coaches of all time, David Blatt, and welcome his MVP point guard, Tyrese Rice, to the show. Welcome, fellas. So good to see you guys.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Same, Joe. Thank you.
And to Tyrese. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Coach, I want to start with you. I want to go back to day one. When I interviewed you for my first ever show, your hospitality, you brought me into your practice, you brought me into your locker room, you brought me into the office. We talked for maybe 2 hours. We can't do that today, but anyways, man, it was the first time about 10 years that I said, man, I would just love to lace my shoes back up and come back and play for a coach like you.
Well, I sure would have been happy to have you, Joe. And I think one of the things that great players like Tyrese and hopefully the different coaches, certainly from the EuroLeague, should and need to understand is that this is a form of entertainment and an example of what we hope kids and young people can become when they apply themselves to being the best version of themselves. So that cooperation between media, between fans, between players who so strongly identify with great talents, guys like Tyrese, is so important to our game because, that's why we do it. It's not only the fact that we love sport and we love to play, but we want to go a little bit further with it than and engage a lot more people and make it something that is meaningful and important to people.
That's exactly what it's all about. I mean, a long run. Tyrese, let me welcome you too. I think you're in Houston right now, right?
Yes, sir. I'm in Houston.
How's it going? How's life treating you, man?
It's going well. Yeah. Staying active and involved, not playing, but, working with some players. Making sure that, keeping their mentals together and, it's fun on the other side.
Perfect, man. I heard Coach calling you Reese before we got on air. So that's the nickname, I guess, is Reese, right?
Yeah, man. I had a teammate in college. I don't know if you guys know Sean Williams. He was a top 15 pick NBA draft. And he just started calling me Reese one day at practice and that's where it went.
I like it. Hey, I want to get started on the season, all right? The 2013-2014 season. Who made the decision for Tyrese Rice to play in Maccabi? Was it coach going after player, or was it player going after team, or was it agents? Who was it? How did it happen?
Well, very definitely, we went after Tyrese. He didn't knock on our door and say, "Hey, take me." We had followed him. And I think it's important that people understand, Tyrese was always a terrific player. I mean, he had an incredible college career and he came to Europe. But like many of the players that we took for different reasons, whether it be budgetary or whether it be sort of the need to find guys that were on their way up to reaching their full potential. We identified Tyrese as one of those guys not that he wasn't already a really good player, but, you know, he was not yet at the top of his career, which everybody knows, you know, how far he went and what he ended up doing in the game. So we went after him without question to answer your question.
That's the guy you want, the guy that's just getting ready to peak, you know? That's the guy. Reese, like, I mean, first of all, I mean, with all due respect to Bayern, that's where you were at the time. I mean, going to Maccabi, going to Tel Aviv is like, I love Tel Aviv, man. I was like living in LA, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how easy was it for you to make that choice?
Well, it wasn't difficult at all, if I answered the question directly. but, you know, I give you guys a funny story.
That's what we're looking for, man. We're looking for good, funny stories.
Hey, I give you guys a funny story because I had no idea. So we're playing the playoffs, and I'm in Bayern. We're playing against Bamberg in that last playoff series. And I guess Ivy had came to see me play a couple times in Munich. And I remember coming in practice, and Coach Pesic was my coach in Bayern at the time. And he is on me at practice. I'm like, dog, like, what's going on? And and he goes, oh, you big player now. You go to Maccabi next year. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I have no idea, you know, what he's talking about the entire time. And he's just like, you go to Maccabi next year. You Maccabi, they come see you, and now you go to Maccabi. I'm like, what? I'm like completely confused about what's going on. Like, I have no idea. And, you know, obviously, you know, once the season ended, I had to play the national team and things like that. And that's when I got the call from Maccabi, and I was like, oh, maybe this guy's not as crazy as I thought he was, because I had no idea. You know, I had no idea what was going on. So it was funny to be a part of that time. But yeah, back to the question, very easy decision.
So, fellas, the season starts, and the EuroLeague at this point, of course, a lot of people who might be listening to this don't know exactly what it was back then. Well, maybe a lot of people listening to it will know what it's like back then. It was four groups of 16 to start, all right, of six teams. So you have four different groups, and then each team went to the final 16, the two top teams. You guys finished off 8-2, I think. Real Madrid and Olympiacos both finished off 10-0. How did you guys feel coming out of the regular season going into that top 16?
Yeah, I felt good about it, quite honestly, because we played everybody tough. I think we only had, one game, and that was against Cheska in Cheska, where we were just outmatched. I think that was the only time that we played a game where I was like, dang, like, that's really going to be difficult. Even when we played against Real Madrid in Madrid, we played them tough. I believe it was only like maybe two possession game at most. And then when we played them at home, I think we lost by one. So my confidence was always high because I'm like, okay, we played them well. And then when we came back home, we played Cheska really well again in a game that I thought we should have won as well. So,
right.
You know, our confidence was never low. It was no disrespect to you, but it was the media that thought we were just so, heavily outmatched.
Reese, I don't consider myself media. I'm just an ex-player just doing my job, man. I'm not media.
Okay. New media.
New media. but what you're talking about is the top 16, because you guys went on to the top 16, and that's where you started to do the round robin. And I'm gonna be blunt here. Cheska laid it on you. I think I got the number 135.
35. It's embedded in my brain. Yeah. And I'm not happy about you reminding me of it at all, Joe. Damn it. Okay.
You killed us.
Coach.
But it only made the end sweeter. But we also went to that game with some injuries. We didn't play with everybody, but they rocked our world, and you know, that was I think, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but that was in our mind, you know, when we did meet him in the Final Four.
I'm going to get there. You know me, Coach. I'm going to get there. Don't worry.
to answer your part of your question, you know, we started the season generally, not only the EuroLeague portion, but also our league portion. You know, we were a new team. We had brought in a lot of new players. We didn't have the kind of continuity that would predict the great results we ultimately came to. So the first, let's say, quarter of the season, both league-wise and EuroLeague-wise, they were tough for us. And I, you know, I got to be honest, and I have to be forthright. You know, as a coach, when you have new team and a new group, it takes you a little bit of time to figure out how you want to play and who you want to play with, so to speak. And I sort of blew it in the beginning. I did not give the proper weight nor the proper credit to a player like Tyrese, for example, who, you know, ultimately, and everybody knows and deservedly so became one of the great EuroLeague stars ever. But I didn't get it in the beginning. You know, it took me a little bit of time to figure out how I was going to incorporate his particular special set of skills and his impact on the team as a whole, as well as other guys too. And I say this both humbly and critically. You know, I needed to figure it out a little bit. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. As a coach, sometimes if you allow yourself, and if you're allowed the time to develop and to create the right level of understanding and expectation of your players, then, you know, you got a chance. So the beginning of our season was tough. But man, you know, we around the beginning of the second round of the EuroLeague and around the mid-year, you know, we found our way, and we particularly with Tyrese's leadership and you know, a few of the other guys, really good players that I'm sure we'll talk about, we just took off.
There was a moment before the game that something happened also, if I'm not mistaken. Weren't you awarded with some sort of like national icon thing?
Yeah.
Before the 35-point beatdown?
You know what? Again, you're adding insult to injury. Actually, I was awarded with the Order of Friendship from the highest level of government in Russia, because, as you guys know, I worked for many years as the head coach of the Russian national team, and we had some very great results, including EuroBasket Championship, EuroBasket Bronze Medal, Olympic Medal. So they gave me this wonderful award, and I had prepared this speech in Russian, you know, thanking everyone. And they gave me a medal, and they put it on my suit coat. And then we went out and got our ass busted by CSKA.
Where's that medal?
We were missing some guys. Well, it's funny, you know, and they were so upset with me because in the middle of the game, I took the medal off because I felt funny wearing a medal in the middle of the game while we're getting our ass kicked. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, my guys are looking at me like, dude, what's up? What's going on here? You know,
but
Tyrese in his good way, he had a very realistic and mature way about him. You know what I mean? He kind of, look, you got to understand something, Joe, and you probably do. Tyrese went to Boston College, okay, and yeah. Boston, all right, is where the true tough guys come from.
Northeast, baby.
Forget
Northeast.
New York. Forget New Jersey. Forget Los Angeles. Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking to you. Okay?
No.
I don't want to hear about all that stuff. The true tough guys come from Boston. And
come
by
on,
the
man.
Way, I'm from Boston. So
St. John's, that's where the tough guys went.
Man, you know,
forget
listen.
BC.
Trust me, I played against St. John's when I was in college. Great team, great guy. God rest his soul, Lou Conaseca, you know.
Rest in peace, Louis.
Rest in peace, Lou. Great guy. But you know, Tyrese, he was always kind of even keeled. You know, he understood the moment, and I didn't. You know, it was a tough one, man.
It reads when the season, but the top 16 is over. You guys, the last game you said you played against was against Moscow. It was a 5-point loss. I think you guys won 71.
Something like
71, that. 71-65, yeah. Something like that. Then all of a sudden, you guys are matched up in the playoff against Milan. All right, real good team. But I gotta throw a little bit of controversy in this thing, because at one point of the season, rumor had it that you might have left Maccabi to go to Milan. Yeah, Milan was trying to run you down, chase you down. I'm hoping this isn't the first time Coach Blatt's heard of this. If not, you're going to be in trouble. But you didn't go. You didn't go because your boy was there, and they were going to cut him for you.
Marquez Haynes. Yep, Marquez Haynes.
Yeah, Marquez Haynes.
Yeah.
So that's a true story.
Yeah, it is a true story. This is my right-hand man. This is my roommate in college.
Oh, you were roommates?
That's my guy. Like, that's like a brother to me. He's like a brother to me. Hold on. Before I get into that, by the way, I never lost to St. John's, so let's just go ahead and put that out there. And BC, I never lost to St. John's. But
you were in there when the big boys were around.
Yeah, I went to the ACC, the real big boys. I went to the real big boys.
That's true.
But yeah, he was my roommate in college, and you know, and so you can understand what our relationship was. And I was well aware of everything that was going on with him, you know, in Milan, just like he was well aware of everything that was going on with me and Maccabi at the time. And I told them directly, if you're telling me to come there for Marquez Haynes, I'm not coming. It's not going to happen. Like, so there's no need for us to even talk. And once they realized that I was serious about that, they were like, they tried to figure out other ways, but I knew what the truth was because I had already talked to Marquez. He had already told me that he was probably going to leave. So I knew, you know, what was happening, but you know, quite honestly, I'm glad I had a conversation with my mother, who really was the one who talked me into like, nah, you should stay and see it all the way through. My mom is like, no quit, no fall, no nothing. Like, maximize, and if it doesn't go the way that you thought it was gonna go in the end,
move on.
Then cool, see it all the way through. You know,
we'll
it is
through.
What it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
that's old school though, man. That's the way we were taught. Yeah. You don't quit halfway through a season. You know, it's just doesn't happen.
Especially when you have a choice. Especially, that's crazy. I just said this about my mom, and my mom just sent me a text message. She must have heard me.
Hey, what's up, mom?
God love your mom, Tyrese. Thank goodness for her. But Joe, I'll also tell you and everyone, he wasn't going anywhere. We weren't going to let him go.
Coach, did you know?
We had problems in the beginning of the season, not just Tyrese, but generally speaking, and I wanted to touch on this before, the beginning of our season was rocky. We had a whole new team. We didn't have continuity. We brought in a lot of guys that had great potential, but were not necessarily at the top level in terms of their game and in terms of their EuroLeague presence. So, you know, we struggled in the beginning. It was really only after the coach, yours truly, began to understand better what his players' skill sets were, how they would fit together, how I could best utilize the guys as a group. And, you know, that was on me. That was definitely on me. And you know, everybody was a little bit on edge and a little bit uncomfortable and thinking about all kinds of different things. But I did believe that we would find the way. You know, it just was a matter of me figuring it out. And then the players, you know, being comfortable and finding their way, which obviously we did. And, you know, come after the first quarter of the season going into the, you know, almost the halfway point, we had sort of found our stride and really became a top level team.
When we're getting to the point where we're at the playoffs, all right, and you're facing Milan, you're going up against Milan, which is, you know, they finished above you guys since they had home court advantage. And the first game was nuts. Game one was crazy. You guys were down 12, 240 to go in the game. Goes back and forth, and you guys make your comeback. You actually go up one. I think Reese, yeah. I think you scored to go up one.
Yeah.
And then off a block shot, I think Alex Tyus blocked Keith Langford's shot, and then someone fouled them. And he goes to the line, and now, you know, Keith's my boy. And I don't want to talk bad about him, but, man, he went and made that first one. And, you know, the first one's the hardest one to make sometimes. Mm-hmm. You got to make the second one. And he missed that second one, man. Was that, for you guys, was that like, fellas, this is it. This is our moment. We came back from 12. They're done. We got to beat them now.
Also, we were down 7 with, like, 33 seconds left, by the way. Like, we were like, this was crazy.
Now you're making me feel bad about not doing all my work.
Hey, I was in the game. I was in the game. So, you know, I'm gonna remember some things that you're not gonna remember. And that block, I think Alex blocked the shot like up in the stands. Like it went like a crazy block. Right. Like our whole bench went crazy. It was dead silent in that gym.
As that moment.
After Keith made that first free throw, I stood behind him on the second one. Cause I'm like, damn, like we just did all this and we're gonna lose like this, like on the free throw.
Did you say that to him though?
Nah, I'm talking to Curry Jones. I'm like, yo, what you think? I did walk past Keith and say something to him. I did say something to him. Okay, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I did. You can see it. I walked right past him and said something to him. Cause you know, I looked up to these guys. You know, I was the young guy. I was the new kid. You know, trying to make a name for myself. So Keith Langford, I knew who Keith was from Kansas. You know, I always looked up. You know, to the players and what they did. I was a real student of the game in that aspect. Right. I always watched guys.
So some people call that bad sportsmanship. I call it just part of the game.
It's gamemanship. Exactly. It's part of the game. I mean, I don't know where they from, but where I'm from, you got to talk a little bit.
That's what you did.
Yeah, you got to talk a little bit.
I used to walk by and say, hey, man, don't let it hit the front of the rim. I'm taking it off if you miss. And that gets right into the head.
If you miss this, you're losing.
you know, Joe, and Tyrese, to add a little bit of perspective to this, what you didn't mention was that the Final Four that year
was in Milan.
Was in Milan.
Exactly.
So there was the extra.
And coach is always a step ahead of me, man. I'm always. I mean, it's cutting, coach.
It's what I do. It's what I do, man. It's what I do.
I know.
So in a funny sort of way, you know, they were obviously the favorite team, and they were really a great team with a lot of great players. And Tyrese just mentioned one of the many that they, or two of the many that they had, you know, Keith Langford and Curtis Drills, and ironically. Keith Langford had played for us the year before.
Exactly.
When we went to the quarterfinals and had that very, very famous, documented series against Panathinaikos that we ultimately lost the fifth game in Greece by 2 points. But, you know, we went in there not being expected to get through that series. And for the most part, that first game, showed that, you know, they kind of were handing it to us. And like you said, we were down 12 points with 2 minutes and 40 seconds. I mean, who wins a game like that? I mean, it's just almost unheard of, but we had the ace, old Mr. Rice stepped in there.
Hold on now, coach. Let's not take away just because he's not here with us. I'll take away from Ricky. Nothing about
Ricky. I was going to say, Joe, together with his partner in crime, exactly. Ricky Hickman, those guys made play after play, some that were planned and some that were just from great, great individual ability and chemistry.
Yeah.
Good word for that, Joe. But when you're in it deep, you know, sometimes you need something special, or you need special players or special plays. And the number of those plays that happened in that 2 minutes and 40 seconds, it's almost incredible.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
And certainly Tyrese and his partner in crime, Ricky, were at the head of that.
I mean, it's so easy to have hindsight. You know, they always say hindsight's 20/20, but when you go back and look at it now, you're like, it's almost all these things that happened during the season were fate. for this to happen. You know what I mean? It's like there's so many times where you had no chance. I mean, not that if you lose game one, you're going to lose the series. That's a definite. I mean, you still got four games to go and anything could happen. But it all just seems like as I'm researching it and I'm looking it up over the last week or so, it's just, man, this was like something that was meant to be. It was something that had to happen. And no matter how it was going to happen, it was going to happen in crazy ways. And we're going to get into more crazy ways. But, Coach, I want to ask you, or it's actually for both of you, but, Coach, you first. The game two, okay, because this is always a big deal for me as a commentator. It was when I was a player. Game two, and you steal game one, you're almost 99% sure you're going to lose that game. But why? I mean, isn't the mentality said, hey, let's go out and get this 2-0 lead? But it seems to me as soon as teams fall behind, they relax and they say, look, I'm up 1-0. We stole home court advantage. Let's move on. What was your mentality going into that game two with a 1-0 lead over Milan?
Well, you know, we came to play. It's not that we said, okay, you know, we got the first one, the second one's not important. You know, we came to play, but, you know, Joe, what people forget is there's the other guy, too. You know, the other guy's playing also.
And they're pretty good.
They're pretty mm-hmm. flipping good.
Yeah,
you know exactly. what I mean? And we're in their home gym, and they got their backs against the wall. You know, and we came out to play. We didn't play our best game. But we were competitive for a while. But, you know, they were just better that day, and they had every reason with the crowd support, with the emergency-type situation. But right. But I will say this, and I'd love to hear Tyrese's feeling. When we won that first game, I knew we were winning the series because there wasn't any way in
really?
Hell
no
they
way.
Were coming – to Tel Aviv and beating us on our home
Ain't
floor
no
with our home fans, with the team that we had. You know, I in my mind, and maybe I'm to blame for the second game. Maybe I kind of spread that feeling to our players, even subconsciously. There was
exactly.
no way in hell they were beating us once we won their first game.
I think that's what I was getting at. Subconsciously, that second game, especially when you have the home court advantage that you guys have at Tel Aviv. You go into that game knowing that no way they're going to walk out of Tel Aviv alive and continue to play. There's no doubt about it. At that point, both teams were going back to Milan. One was going to take the EuroLeague off. The other was going to play the Final Four. But it's so much easier to go back and say, okay, we got to win 1 or 2 because you're putting a little bit of pressure on yourself trying to win 2 or 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because game five is back there, and that's a hard one to win, obviously, historically in the EuroLeague.
Yeah. Another funny, just a little funny moment. Guy Panini, after we won game one and we're playing in game two, and I remember being on the bench and Guy goes, there's no way they beat us twice. There's no way that they beat us in Tel Aviv. And I'm thinking the same thing, but you know, I'm following the lead of the guys. Like I said, I'm the young guy who's trying to figure this thing out. We got experience already there, but just based off of what we had been through in that season, the ups and the downs, we went from, this is the worst Maccabi team we've ever had. Like, it was like the things that were being said about us, but the guys that we had and how we stuck together, it was no way. Like Cole said, it was no way that we were going to get home after stealing the game like that, in that manner. There's no way that we get back to Tel Aviv with the energy of the crowd and how we had built up into those moments. We had the energy, we had the fans, we had, like, it just felt right. It was like, there's no way. Like, I got chills in my body right now, even thinking about it.
I love it.
As soon as we stepped on the floor for game three, and I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to Final Four. Game three. Yeah. Like, I it didn't, even in game four, when Keith came out and was going crazy, he had, like, 25 points going into the fourth quarter. We were losing. Like, even in that point, I was like, we're not going to lose the game. I think we ended up winning the game by 20.
Yeah, pretty close.
We were losing and going into the fourth quarter, though. Okay, we ended up winning the game by, like, 20 points. But it was like, it just felt right. Like, even in that game, too, you know, we came out and we competed. You know, we played hard. But they came out and really just punched us in the mouth. It just was what it was. Like Cole said, this is a good team, too. You know, they were tough as well.
But we were so mentally tough and resilient that I knew that once we got back, we would be okay.
Man, you know what's amazing about being an ex-player and listening to you guys talk about what you did together? It's so cool because I don't think we as players or coaches appreciate it in the moment because you're so stuck in the moment of the next day, the next game, the next practice, the next road trip, the next whatever, that to hear you guys reminisce about it, like you said, it just gives me the chills, man, because nobody knows except for those 12 players and the coaching staff inside what it takes to actually get to where you guys got to, all the ups and downs, the bumps and the bruises, man. And I'm getting the chills. I didn't even live it with you guys. I watched the last game. I watched the championship game when it was a sea of yellow in that arena in Milan, man. It was crazy. But it's just getting the chills to listen to you guys actually go over it. And I'm going to love doing this crossover this season with other players and coaches. It's awesome. Appreciate you guys. Let's take it to the Final Four. After winning that playoff, And all the other things that happened, I think Madrid went to 5 games. Cesca went to 5 games, and they beat Panathinaikos in game 5, 74-44. That was like make a statement before I go to the Final Four. And you guys, of course, know that you're going to face Cesca, who's already beaten you twice. Me as an ex-player, I'm thinking you ain't beaten me 3 times in the season. You guys got your ass whooped, as coach said, a couple times by him. What's your mentality going back to Milan, and not to face Milan, but to face Cesca in semis?
Well, I could tell you this. My confidence is a little bit irrational sometimes.
Wait.
That's a classic, Joe. That's a classic. Irrational confidence, that's classic.
I got a timeout. I got one left after this timeout, Reese. I've heard people say I'm overconfident. I've heard people say I'm cocky. I've heard people say everything, but I've never heard that my confidence is irrational.
Joe Tyrese is one in a million, man. He's special. He's special. Not just as a player, but also as a person, man. I love it. I'm going to adopt that for life.
Exactly. I'm thinking the same thing. I can't forget that. Tell me why.
I just believe, man. I honestly just believe, really. I understand the work that's done, especially when you're around guys who do so much work as well. Coach Black can tell you, it got to a point in the season where it was like, you know, I wasn't playing a lot, but it was like, okay, if I'm not going to play, I'm going to work my ass off every day. I'm going to come in here before practice. I'm going to come in here after practice. I'm going to come in here on days off. It was times when coach would take the balls out of practice. He would be like, yo, no working out after practice. He would take the balls out of practice. Like, that, I literally was in the gym that much. It was like, okay, you know what? This is how I'm going to do it. So this is where that irrational confidence
irrationality
comes from. It's like, yeah, this is where it comes from. Because it's like, I mean, I have to believe, you know, in some kind of way. And it helped to have guys that believe that way as well. I don't know if they may not describe their confidence as irrational, but they believe, you know, and when you have that and you're around that on a day-to-day basis, it's easy to go into these situations where your back is against the wall because, you know, at worst, we're going to fight, you know, like we're going to fight. And if you're going to beat us, then you're going to actually have to beat us. Nobody's going to lay down. And that's how it was.
And that feeling of belief becomes contagious because there might be a couple people that aren't feeling that way. Then all of a sudden they're looking around and go, man, look at these guys. Look at the way Tyrese is coming and working out every day, not even playing as much as me. That becomes contagious.
No doubt, Joe. We were fortunate. You know, for me, the first and most important thing in a player and in a team is character. And we had guys with character. You know, we're talking to one of them right now, and he just described to you what and how he dealt with adversity and through that also influence guys around him. You know, you as a team, you set goals, but setting goals is the easy part. It's actually doing the work. It's actually doing the work. Exactly. You know what I mean? And going through a process and dealing with the ups and downs and trusting each other and believing in each other. And this is not just player to player. It's player to coach and coach to player. It's organization to the overall. You know, there's a lot that goes into being a successful and sustainable group. You know, and we found those things. We built into those things, and that's where that belief, so to speak, came from. You know, on a personal level, and Tyrese described in a unique way that he did. But we also, you know, we based that on something, and that something was the work, you know, and the trust that we had with each other, and that's what made it so special and so memorable.
This is a mental game, and things that happen during a season can either help you or they can hurt you. I mean, there's no doubt. It all depends on your belief, on your mentality, and everything else. But losing two games at Cheska in the top 16, one of them, as you said, by 35 points at Cheska, especially after receiving an award. There's only two directions to go in here. Yeah. You know, yeah. You either go like, oh shit, or you're saying, okay, well, let's go. Let's assume the role of the underdog. We're the underdog. Everybody here is supposed to beat us. Barcelona went 3-0 on Galatasaray. Real Madrid went to 5 against Olympiacos. Cheska blew out Panathinaikos in game 5 by 30 points, leaving them to 44 points. They've beaten you twice. You had no chance. No chance at all to win that game in everybody's eyes. In the media's eyes, Reese, as you said before.
In the media's eye.
But let me go to Coach. Coach, how do you prepare your team mentally? Because the physical part, we're all tired, we're all hurt, we're all with it. It's end of the season. How do you prepare your team mentally for the past, for what's happened in the past?
You know, some things you have to leave in the past. And you know, you've articulated, and I'm tired of hearing it about the 35-point loss, you know.
Hey, Coach.
No, listen, Joe. Listen, we're good friends. We're good friends, but you gotta leave that alone, man. We went there without three of our main guys, and we did indeed get it handed to us.
But he's still making excuses.
To the point. No. All right. I'll take that. I'll take that. Right. To the point of how to prepare the players. You know, fortunately, you know, we built into our season a level of like I said before, trust and a willingness to really work for things. So when the time came and we had gone through that very special experience in the quarterfinal, we came into, and Tyrese, I'm sure, will tell you if this is true, we came into the Final Four with a very strong belief that we could win. I'm not saying we said we're going to win.
You're not the favorite by any means.
We had a belief that we could compete even at that high, high level. Now, I'm saying that because I want to give some perspective. We played the game, and we're down 15 in the third quarter, Joe.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're getting it handed to us again. Only this time, it's in front of the whole world and multi millions of people in the Final Four. And our own fans.
Now I'm not upset that you took me there beforehand, because I was going there right now.
I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth, Joe. And we are getting it handed to us. And Tyrese will tell you that this is true. We, you know, took a timeout. We're sucking wind here. We're really having trouble.
But we're real.
And I looked at the guys and I told them, you know, we're down 15, 3 minutes to go on the court. I said, guys, we got them right where we want them.
He did say it.
Right where we wanted, because we'd been there, Joe.
Yeah,
we'd been there.
Exactly.
You know, we were down 12 with 2 minutes and 40 seconds in a game in the other team's home court. Right where we want them. And I just said, listen, all we got to do is let's get it down to something like 10, and then they're going to be under pressure, and we're going to find a way to win this. And thank God for the guys that we had. They did it. That's exactly what happened.
We're right where we want to be. I would put an analogy in that. That's like me playing golf. I never know what to do when I'm in the fairway, because I'm never there, but I can hit out of a tree like nobody. Reese, the end of the game comes. I mean, like you said, you're down 10 going into the fourth quarter. So you got to where Coach said you needed to be. You need to be down 10 with an opportunity to play. But even though you're down 10, they dominate. They're dominating 30 minutes of the game. You guys come back, you get it close, and I still, I mean, you guys have to talk to me about the play where Kirapa just, I don't even know what he did. What happened in that play? Because you scored, I think, beforehand to go up.
Blue made the three.
Out of timeout.
Yeah.
We ran a play. We ran a play that Tyrese executed beautifully. We ran a little dribble handoff pitch back play. We're down four. So, you know, we ran a play. And we get a 3-point shot. I will tell you this, that Reese made an unbelievable move and pitch back, probably fouled the living crap out of Kriapa to drive
ran
him
right
off
into
his,
him.
Yeah, to drive him right off his chase of Blue. So yeah. Tyrese, you know, because he's a tough guy from Boston, you know some Houston, but. You know, because he understands how you get what you got to do to win sometimes. So he made that play, and Blue made that unbelievable 3-point shot, which put us down one. Then we get to the store. Go ahead.
And then you get to the turnover. I mean, what are you thinking when you're watching? Coach, you and Reese, you're on the play. You're like, I can still remember sitting in my room wide. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I can't
Again,
even really
put
we're
in. Talking about fate. I hate to disrupt you, but – we're talking about fate again.
Yeah. Going back to one of the things that Coach said, he talked about fortunate. We're fortunate that the Final Four wasn't the 3-game or 5-game series. That's because we're not beating it three times. So we're fortunate that it's one game because it, one game.
That's a good point.
One game.
Right.
But, you know, when this happened and he dropped the ball, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, shit, we got to go score. It's like, right. We got to go score. Like, there was no way that I was going to stand and wait until the defense got back. They were a machine. Let's just be honest about who Cheska was. They were a machine.
Nobody scored over 20 points in a quarter in that game.
Yeah.
Until you guys in the fourth.
Yeah, they were a machine. Like, they had size at every position. They had defenders just about everywhere on the court. We were able to exploit, you know, some defenders in that fourth quarter to bring us back. But in my eyes, it was we have to go score right now. Like, if we don't go score right now, we might not score. We might not even get the shot off that we want. And now we're at advantage. And, you know, you can see when he lost his ball, and it was like, this is our moment. That's why you can see the reaction in me, like, oh shit, go. Like, go. It was like go. Like, you can see me just take off, but all of us took off. If you look at the play, even if I didn't make the layup, we were gonna score.
Yeah.
Like,
hey.
Smitty was there, Tyus was there, Hickman was there. Like, we were all like, even if I didn't make this layup, I'm glad that I did make the layup, but even if I didn't make this layup, we were going to score that basket. Like, we would have got the ball and been able to at least score or get fouled and go to the free throw line because we had so many guys that just took off, you know, in that very moment. And it was like fate, as you said, man. Like I said, when we walked out of that game one in Milan and how that game went and how it felt, when we came back into our gym, it was like, oh, we're supposed to be here. Like, this isn't coincidence. It may be coincidence for everybody else, but I don't believe in those. I believe if things happen for a reason, and that game one happened because it was setting the stage for what was going to happen, you know, in the Final Four.
That's called irrational confidence, if I've ever heard it right there.
You see how my mind works.
Hey, listen, I watched the play. And what I was thinking of, you know, I always try to put myself in the player's perspective in that moment, because as a player, you're thinking, okay, what's the situation? What's the time? We're down one. What are we going to do? Then all of a sudden you look at the balls on the ground. He just left them on. It was like while you were processing we all do situational basketball in practice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so while you're processing it, all of a sudden you see the loose ball and boom, you went for it. It was a crazy moment. I'm telling you, the whole thing to me, as I've been researching it, is all about fate. It's all about fate and destiny.
The aspect of being ready to seize the moment, and I'll give you a little quote here, that when opportunity knocks on the door, don't be sitting in the bathroom. You got to be ready to take it. You know what
I mean?
At that moment. the opportunity arose, and you know, people. I don't think people realize the shot that Tyrese made. That layup was a heck of a shot. Now maybe we would have gotten the offensive rebound, but he drove the ball, and Teodosic really, you know, that was a blocking foul without question. You know, just like the play before that. We made the 3-point shot on could have been called an offensive foul. Neither were called, but you know that was an opportunity and we took it. Now they still inbounded the ball and ran it up the floor and threw it up to the wing to Sonny Weems, who was a hell of a player amongst the many great players they had. You know, and he missed an open shot, but that was our opportunity and we took it
for whatever reason. I knew that shot wasn't going in. I don't know why I knew that, but I was like, I knew for a fact it wasn't going in. This shot, it's not going in. I was just about celebrating. I looked at it, and we all watched it. Of course, we all got to watch it and try to figure out what's about to happen here, because the high to that low, if he would have made that shot, I probably would have fell asleep on the court or something. I'd have just laid there, just realized, hey, you know, there's no way this just happened like this. Like again, another moment where it's like, there's no way that we lose like this after what just happened.
Yep. After this game, Madrid just destroyed Barcelona by 40, 38 in the end.
I didn't watch a single second of that game.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch 1 minute of that game.
But you knew what the result was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a 40-point game, ain't no need to be watching that. What I'm watching that for? There's no need to watch that. Let's just be for real. Like, what am I going to take home? A 40-point win. Like, there's nothing that I could take from that. You know, we watched it in film. Obviously, we break down the film and, you know, you see things like that. But for me personally, I don't watch games like this because my approach isn't to go out there and get beat by 40. Like I'm going to go out there and play as hard as I can. And it's like, we're not going to lose the game by 40, are we? Like, there's no way that they that good. Anyway, we played them great already.
My thing was like, when I got that, I was like, man, they did everything right yesterday and you guys struggled. And I always think that the team that struggles to get where they are usually has more of an advantage in a one-game series than does, you know, than the team that won by 40. I mean, it's just the mode of relaxation, sit back, we got this, overconfidence, call whatever you want. But I felt going to that game that Maccabi's going to win this game, man. With everything I've seen Maccabi do throughout this season, they're going to win this game. And I don't know how, and it's going to be a crazy game, but they're going to win it.
Well, Joe, you know, you're saying that. There's not many people that were saying that. I got to be honest with you.
I felt it. Nobody felt that way.
They were every bit as much the favorite as Cheska was in the game against us. I'm going to tell you a story behind the scenes. We, you know, the next day, both teams had practice time. Okay. Because, you know, there was the semifinal, then a day of practice, then the next day is the final. Okay. And they had practice first, Real Madrid did. And, you know, we got there a little bit early, but, you know, we were respectful and, you know, let them have the floor. Of course, we weren't out in the gym or anything, but when the time came, we did walk out into the gym and they had like four guys at practice. They basically had decided to let the guys relax, you know, to let them. Yeah, and there's some logic in that. You know, they didn't want to overstress the players. They wanted them to come fresh to the final. They had morning practice the next day too. We came and we practiced. Tyrese is probably still cursing me out right now, as they all did. Now, not like we were never crazy. We weren't running in the stands and we weren't jumping over the rivers and, you know, doing all this wild stuff. But we were a team that worked. And Reese also said this, you know, I couldn't get guys out of the gym. Never mind get them in the gym. You know what I mean? So we came and we practiced and we prepared and, you know, and fatigue was not a consideration. You know, we were on cloud nine in terms of our excitement about achieving, you know, an unbelievable result. And they sort of took it the other way. They were like, you know what? We're going to be cool. We're going to chill. We're just going to let the guys stay fresh. And, you know, and there's something to that. I'm not saying that that's not reasonable. And certainly their coach, Pablo Laso, who's one of the great coaches of all time, as is Ettore Messina, who, you know, we beat the day before. You know, those guys know what they're doing. You know what I mean? It's not like they don't know, but we had our way, and that way was the right way for that period of time.
Yeah, but you know, coaches, this goes with everything. It's a coach's decision. It's a very important decision to make. If you relax the team and let them chill and relax and they come out win the next game, you're the greatest coach in the world. If you overwork your team between two games and you practice too hard and you lose the game, you made the worst decision in the world. So everything's based on results in the long run. It doesn't matter, but everybody's going to do what they want to do. And you made your decision to work your team and push them a little bit more. And, you know, obviously that was the right decision, but.
Joe, I don't know, and I'm just going to share this again because Tyrese will laugh about this. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in that game too, in the middle of the first half, we were down 13 also. So maybe I didn't make such a good decision. We were tired as hell. And Reese and Ricky and Joe Inglis and Devin and Sofo and Guy Panini and Yogi Vakhon, and they're probably cursing me out. Like, shit, why didn't we rest?
You didn't have Sofo out there running the day before the finals, did you?
Yeah, they're looking at me like, dude, you know, we're spent. We got nothing. What do you want from us? You know what I mean? But once again, we had them right where we wanted them.
I mean, as far as the game is concerned, if you look at it numerically, as I did, it's an even game all the way through. But as you said, you're down 13 at one point, and Madrid's looking like they're going to run away with the game. And somehow or another, you guys tie this thing up at the end. I mean, it was somewhat of a comeback, but let's not call it like the 12-point comeback in 2 minutes against Milan. But it was more of a methodical comeback, get a stop, get a basket, whatever. And you force overtime. And overtime was one of the most exciting 5 minutes of basketball I've seen in my entire life at that moment. I maybe seen some since then, but those 5 minutes, Reese, man, it was just like, I don't know if Coach Black came to you, if Ricky came to you, if any of your boys came to you and just said, yo, take the ball and do your thing, my man. I don't know who did it, but you did it. What happened? How did it, I mean, you went to the line like 37 times in overtime, man. It was crazy. Yeah. I was just like, you started out with the three-pointer, and then from there, it's like a couple free throws, a three-pointer, then boom, foul, 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 foul. They just couldn't stop you.
Man, I'm gonna go back a little bit to that practice that Coach was talking about. And I remember us walking into practice, and I looked down at Rudy. And shout out to Rudy. Rudy's amazing. You know, we are one of the all-time greats in EuroLeague. Big, big, big respect. He had on like some cross trainer shoes and they were untied. And I was like, what? I was like, oh, they didn't even tie it. They didn't tie their shoes. Like, they didn't do anything in practice today. And so just to give you some perspective on how we approach this coming into the game. And then also another thing, we didn't come back to tie it up. They came back to tie it up. Yep. At the end of that game, we were up. We was up by 4 points.
Oh, that's right.
We should have won that game in regulation. They gave them two phantom calls, you know, two Madrid calls. Get a couple Madrid calls in there. You know, they gave them two phantom calls. They made four free throws, and, you know, and I missed a shot to win the game. I was so mad about missing this shot because it was literally probably the easiest shot that I had got. Yeah. The entire Final Four. Like, it was a top of the key, step into three ball. It's like for the game. And for me, that was like, how you miss that? Like, this is how I think about stuff like this. Like, I don't think that I can make every shot. I don't think that I'm going to come out and be 9 for 9 or something like that, or 8 for 10 from three. But one shot, the one for the game, in my opinion, you got to make that.
Is that what motivated you in the overtime?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And, you know, for me to come out of the, we get the jump ball. Oh, no, we got to stop. I think we got to stop first.
And you got to stop
come
first,
come off that
yeah.
screen, and I see him go under, and I see that Mirotić didn't want to switch, and I was open again. I was like, it's the same exact shot I just got. There's no way that you missed this shot again. And when I shot it and it went in, I said, oh, yeah, it's over. Like, we're winning this game now. I know for a fact we're going to win this thing now.
Guys, people, you know, there's some that really remember it, and there's others that
that should see it if they don't, or even see it for the first time. What Tyrese did in the whole Final Four, but in that last game, is probably singularly one of the great performances all time of the EuroLeague. We were a team that really played together, and we shared the ball, and we certainly got a lot out of a lot of guys. But in that moment, you know, he just took the game over completely, you know, and we ran simple stuff that we're gonna be best for him. But, you know, it doesn't make a difference what you're running. When a guy is playing at the level that he was playing at those moments, you know, he took over the entire environment. Yeah. You know,
he took over the arena.
The arena, the EuroLeague basketball, the world, it seemed like. You know, what he did was really unique.
I'm a very objective person, and I commentate EuroLeague games. I love doing it. I enjoy it. And I don't have a team. Everybody thinks I have a team. I don't have a team. I have a spirit for the game. And man, the other day I did the Fenerbahce Madrid game, and I was up off my seat commentating a game when I saw Nigel Hayes drop 33. You know what I mean? And the same thing with you, Tyrese. I mean, I was just like, I had to be a little bit more controlled in that atmosphere. I was sitting there going, look at my boy, man. I'm like, look at my boy, man. He's about to take this shit over. He's going now. I said, you can see it in his eyes, man. Mm-hmm. You can see it in his eyes. And you just took over, dude. But the crazy part of that game, I was looking at the stats, 35 offensive rebounds. You had 19 offensive rebounds. They had 16. Nobody could score. Both teams were under 50%. It was a battle. It was what I would say a typical Turkish Airlines EuroLeague final, that defense kind of took over and 35 offensive rebounds. That was nuts. That's nuts to see in a championship game.
That was the first EuroLeague overtime game, final game, I believe.
Yep, exactly.
It was just two teams that wanted to win the game, and it's a special game, really. I would tell any young guy coming up in EuroLeague, if you really want to see like a game with two teams just going at it the entire time, that's one of those games. Just like that Olympiacos and Cheska game, when Olympiacos won it, that's another one of those games where they just back and forth, you know, and you get to see, you know, guys beat them in the moment. One thing happened in that Final Four game, that was really, really funny. And this is my guy, David Blue. I love Blue because no matter what, you knew you was going to get the real from Blue. It didn't matter. He was going to tell you exactly how it was, exactly how it's supposed to be. And it didn't matter what the moment was. I remember coming down and I had like a move on the sideline, and I tried to throw the ball to Devin Smith going to the corner. I thought he was going to keep running to the corner, so I anticipated the pass. It threw it towards the corner. But he stopped and like spotted up and I turned it over. And then we come back down and I draw like an offensive foul. And Blue's got the ball in his hands, right? He walks up to me, he goes, hey, stop turning the ball over. Take care of the ball. Take care of the ball and win us the game. And he just put the ball in my chest and just walked off. I was like, all right. And then I just dropped the ball and came up. But that was it. That was our team.
That's that trust that I was talking about, you know? That was trust in each other?
Yeah, exactly, in each other.
That was indicative to who we were.
Tyrese has mentioned throughout the whole interview, trust on the young guy who was struggling throughout the year to get a little bit of playing time, who was working his ass off over and over. Later in the gym, you had to kick him out of the gym sometimes. That's a whole lot of stuff. And you all only go back and tell Blue to chill out a little bit, because I saw the stats. Y'all only had 7 turnovers in that game. It wasn't that for...
hey, all turnovers not created equal. We know that.
That's true.
There's good and bad turnovers. That's right.
You get a turnover at the wrong moment.
Something that people also forget was, and this was by design, you know, we really wanted to slow the tempo because Real, you know, was such a deep and talented and high-scoring team in typical Real Madrid tradition,
right?
With the wonderful group of players that they had, so we tried to slow the game down somewhat and keep them from having multiple possessions. And the first 40 minutes of the game finished 72-72. That's not a high scoring game by any stretch of imagination. And to my point, we scored in the 5-minute overtime. We scored 25 points.
25 points.
That's a 50-point quarter. That's unheard of. So when you think about how unbelievably we played in those 5 minutes, we were like floating on air, led by Tyrese and our wonderful group of other guys. We were just, you know, we were on the clouds, just living the moment, man. And it was something that was unforgettable and unique and certainly lifetime memorable.
Well, I gotta thank the two of you for being here and sharing this with me and with my listeners, because I just, as I said like halfway through, man, you guys would give me the chills. Just and there's not much that makes me miss this game. There's not much that makes me miss the travel and the play and everything else. But Tyrese, I know you'll agree with me real quick, because we had to get on to the next thing. But I missed the locker room, man. I missed that, like, you know, someone coming up to you, just bumping you in the chest, and you go, "Come on, man." Like shake that shit off and move on to the next play. Let's go. And, you know, and pumping each other up, man. So you guys gave me that feeling for the last hour. This is our 25th anniversary edition of the Crossover. And it's the 25th anniversary, obviously, at Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. So what we need to know, give me your top five. Give me your starting five of all time over the 25 years.
I was lucky to be in the EuroLeague for a lot of years. So I saw a lot of great, great players. And many of them I even had to... the good blessings to coach. But I'm going to pick guys from Maccabi, okay, just to make it easier. Because there's so many great players, you know what I mean? It's just too hard to choose five.
It's crazy.
So I'm going to make it simple for myself. I'm going to go with Tyrese Rice at point guard, with Anthony Parker, with David Blue, with Nikola Vucic. I'm going to put Parker at the three because he could really play almost any position. I'm going to put Šarūnas Jasikevičius, also a Maccabi guy in there. So Reese and Šarūnas and Anthony and David Blue and Nikola Vucic.
Hey, Reese, how would you like to play with those guys?
My job is easy. I just need to stay out the way. I just got to stay out the way and be ready with my name called. I would love that.
Yeah, but they might need you in the last 5 minutes of overtime against Real Madrid.
No doubt. I'll be ready. I'll be ready.
All right, my man. Give me your top five.
Wow.
Now, you can't. Now look it. I let Coach Kapop, because I have so much respect and love for Coach, I can let him get away with that. Yeah. He knows. He's like my wife. He knows you can take advantage of certain things, you know? I need you to man up, Reese.
Yeah, I got you. He had two guys that I was going to put on there in Anthony Parker and Vucic. I think those are two
must-haves.
But I have Spanoulis.
Thank you. That's my boy.
Kostas Lucas. I'm a big Lucas fan. I like Lucas. And I think I'm going to go Devin Smith. I got to go Smitty. I got to put Smitty out there. Just a world-class human being. And, you know, between him and Sean James, man, those are two guys that I still lean on to this day. Those are two guys that really, really helped me during my time in Maccabi. And the respect that I have those guys is unreal. And so, yeah, man, I would, you know, I had to put Sean in there as an honorary. But Spanoulis, Lucas, Anthony Parker, Vucic, and my guy Devin Smith.
You're here. I'd take Devin as our sixth man any day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Devin was one of those guys that just did it all. I think you just put him on the court and just say, "Hey, man, just do it. Ready?
Awesome.
Do your thing."
Awesome guy. Awesome.
Fellas, listen, I'm honored. I'm blessed. And I'm just so happy to have this opportunity to do this. EuroLeague called me this year and asked me if we wanted to change the format of the Crossover to something like this because of the 25th anniversary. Honestly, I'm going to be very transparent. I was almost, I don't know, man. I don't know. I want to do my thing, you know, the Crossover. But you guys have made the decision to do it like this so easy, man. And I can't wait to my next one. Hopefully, it's going to be as good as this one. But you guys were a tremendous coach, as always, man. I love you. I love you. I still wish that I could come back and you could come back and I could play for you, because when I watch you coach, man, it was special. And Tyrese, man, if I could do anything to go back and see you play again, man, because watching you take over that overtime game was just, it was sick. It was just, and it's what I love. It's what I love about a basketball player. When you go into killer mode, man, you're like, I'm going for you, and I'm going to win this game no matter what. I got to watch it live in person. It was awesome, man. Thank you guys so much for being with me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pleasure to see you, my brother. Thank you.
Coach, man, amazing to see you.
Joe, thank you.
Good to see you, Coach. Thanks, Joe.
Always the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was awesome. Interview with David Blatt and Tyrese Rice. Absolutely amazing. Stick around because there's so much more to come for this 25th year anniversary of the Turkish Airlines Euroleague. Comment, like, do what you need to do wherever it is down here. We love to hear from you. We're coming back with more, so be prepared.